A reading from the Book of Wisdom. There is no God besides you who have the care of all, that you need show you have not unjustly condemned. For your might is the source of justice. Your mastery over all things makes you lenient to all. For you show your might when the perfection of your power is disbelieved, and in those who know you, you rebuke temerity. But though you are master of might, you judge with clemency, and with much lenience you govern us. For power, whenever you will, attends you. And you taught your people by these deeds, and those who are just must be kind. And you gave your children good ground for hope, that you would permit repentance for their sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, you are good and forgiving.
Lord, you are good and forgiving.
You, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in kindness to all who call upon you. Hearken, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the sound of my pleading.
Lord, you are good and forgiving.
All the nations you have made shall come and worship you, O Lord, and glorify your name. For you are great, and you do wondrous deeds. You alone are God.
Lord, you are good and forgiving.
For you, O Lord, are God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in kindness and fidelity. Turn toward me and have pity on me. Give your strength to your servant.
Lord, you are good and forgiving.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. And the one who searches hearts knows what is the intention of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the holy ones according to God's will. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have revealed to little ones the mystery of the kingdom. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus proposed another parable to the crowds, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the household came to him and said, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. His slaves said to him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? He replied, No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then, at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn. He proposed another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world. Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He said in reply, He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear. The Gospel of the Lord. He spoke to them only in parables, to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world. Last week, I mentioned that we have moved into this section of the Gospel of St. Matthew in which Jesus is presenting his teaching of the kingdom of God using parables, some of the most beautiful parables and most intriguing parables that Jesus has ever spoken and captured in the writings of the Gospels are presented to us in both Matthew's Gospel and also the other synoptic Gospel of St. Luke. Beautiful capturing of the parabolic teachings of the Lord. But the parables are not just to be understood as, you know, Jesus using images that people that are down to earth, that they can relate to, like in an agrarian culture, in the way in which Jesus was living in those times in the first century. Yes, farming and tilling the soil, baking bread and so forth, those are things that people could resonate with and they would identify with that. But more than that, Jesus is employing teachings of parables, using such images to make visible that which is invisible. The kingdom of heaven is not something you and I can perceive with our natural eyes. We need God to reveal to us what it is that he is trying to say to us, and more importantly, what it is that he wants us to do with him and for this world, which he gave his only son for love. So if it was indeed the case, say for instance, I'm not that good moving about and operating in the kitchen. I don't have a green thumb, which I don't have a green thumb. If you ever want a plant to die, you give it to me. It will be done within 2 or 3 days. So if that's not our forte, then how might Jesus employ such teachings for us today? Well, I think back on the NCAA World Series, in which LSU was up against Florida, and before that, Wake Forest. Now, as a fan, we're sitting there and we're watching the game. And you see this pitcher, and he seemingly cannot find the strike zone. Now, all up throughout the regular season, this pitcher was throwing lights out, striking out people left and right, had full control of every pitch he would throw, be it a screwball, a curveball, a fastball, a slider, and whatever else. But all of a sudden, now that he's on the biggest stage and everything is on the line, the pitcher seemingly, he cannot find a plate. And then when it does look like it gets close to the strike zone, then the umpire does his part. Ball. And so you're losing your mind. So I'm sitting there thinking, my God, coach, when are you going to take this guy out? This is not a time to, we don't have the luxury of letting him work out the kinks in order to win. This is it. Everything is on the line. It's important for us to win the first game of this series. But what's in the mind of the coach? I know what this young man's capabilities are. And the only way he's going to truly learn and be able to be the great pitcher that I know he has the capacity to be, he's got to know how to make it through difficult moments like this. And what kind of a coach would I be if I did not afford him the opportunity to do so? So what will happen? The coach will call a timeout, and he will go to the plate, and he'll speak to the young man heart to heart. Take a deep breath, son. You know what you have to do. You have the ability. Look around you. You're not alone. These are men that you've been on this journey with. This is what we've been working towards. Now we're here. Forget the crowd. Focus on what you have trained for all your life, what God has gifted you with, and let that come forth. And so what happens? The coach goes back, and the next thing, finally, he throws a strike. And he says, no, and let me tell you, the first pitch you pitch, regardless, fastball. No dilly-dally. Just throw it with everything you got right down the middle. Whatever happens, happens. And once he does, and the strike is called, it's like, and then everything starts flowing again. The Word of God today is really lifting up for us two of the great attributes of God: the mercy of God and the justice of God in the context of a world gone wrong in sin and yet in which His kingdom has come among us. And so what we're being shown today, what we're being taught, is that the kingdom of God, in truth, is the mystical body of Christ, which is the church. When you look around in any assembly, whether you come here to OLPH, you may visit with your family at another parish, you look around, you look and you see the people who are joined you in that place of assembly, and you're thinking, I wonder who that person is. Somebody you might recognize, they may hail, you may wave at them. Some people you know, some people you're good friends with, some people you don't quite meet eye to eye with. In other words, it's a mixed bag. Everyone is involved in this work of God. And what the Lord is saying to us through these parables, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked by the fact that you see some wheats and weeds, or the traditional terms of the tares and the wheat. And you notice in the parable, as Jesus tells us, what does he deduce? What is his conclusion? Because the slave or the servants are like, what happened? What happened? We know you sowed good seed. What has happened here? An enemy has done this. An enemy who has been from the beginning against God and us and does anything and everything, even though he knows he can't win. The devil cannot win. But he's not worried about that. You know what his focus is? He wants to ensure that you and I lose. You ever play a board game like Monopoly or something like that? And sometimes you got family, you know, family rivalries can be tough. Sibling rivalries can be tough. And the competitive spirit can really get up and happen and those kind of things. So all it takes is maybe two other siblings in the family to get together. And if they've got the ups on you in terms of locations on the board, they can work together in such a way to ensure, maybe neither one of them are going to win, but their objective is to make sure you don't win, to make sure that you lose. And this is what we're contending with. And it doesn't seem right. We hear this and we say, Lord, why not? Why not pull up the weeds, before the weeds destroy the whole situation? And mind you, the way the farmer in the parable goes about doing it, he says, no, if we do that, if we pull up the weeds, we're going to possibly pull up the wheat as well. Let them grow together. That's not how a farmer in the first century would have dealt with it. That's not even how a farmer in these days would deal with it. You know what they would do? They would cultivate the wheat in such a way so as to break it free from the weeds. Wouldn't give it a chance. But that's not the way God is operating. Because if we, in our judgment of things, in the way we see things, see ourselves and others around us, if we would be hasty in wanting to just eliminate this person or that person, we may very well have eliminated a St. Augustine, a Mother Teresa of Calcutta, a St. Athanasius, a St. Teresa of Avila, and goes on and on and on, because all of the great saints that we celebrate started out, some of them were terrible weeds in the kingdom of God before the process of grace, which God is constantly showering upon the world, takes effect. The patience of God is directed towards our salvation without exception. It's not how we start, it's how we finish. We can find ourselves in such travail, in such situations, we wonder what is happening, what is wrong, what have I done wrong? Sometimes God allows certain trials and tribulations to come upon us, not because he's punishing us. It's quite the opposite, and it's mysterious how he does things. He is allowing it because he knows of what you're made. He knows the grace that's been invested in you, and he knows what will happen in certain situations, but you don't know that until you're in the midst of it. And so it goes the way it goes. Like Peter, if it beest thou, Lord, bid me come to you on the waters, come. And out of the boat he goes and he's walking on the water. And then as soon as he says, oh, what's happened? I can't believe this. Lord, save me. Immediately he reaches down and saves Peter. Perhaps we say, well, Father, I don't know how to say the things I need to say to God. I don't know. I mean, I hear this. This all sounds good, but how do I translate that into language I can put into words? Well, thank God for the words of St. Paul today. None of us knows how to pray as we ought, St. Paul included. Isn't that good news? A juggernaut of a saint such as St. Paul, who knows a lot about being against God and now all of a sudden having his eyes opened, having the experience of the amazing grace that enabled him to be a mighty instrument for the works of God to be realized. And mind you, a lot of the works that St. Paul accomplished on behalf of Christ and the kingdom came through a great deal of suffering, which is the hallmark of love, the willingness to lay oneself down for the good of the other. So it may appear right now as if nothing we're doing is making a difference. The mustard seed situation. I've been trying, Father. I've been going after this so long, so many times. How many times I go to confession, myself personally, and it seems like the same litany of sins I keep confessing over and over again. And in my mind, it feels as though I'm presenting the Lord with my failures all over again. But that's not how God wants us to see it. We need to understand it as it's not so much that you're presenting. We're not expressing our failures. We're expressing the ongoing need to continue to grow in those areas where we continue to fall. It's not that God is disinterested. It's a process. We're growing in a relationship in which there are no strings attached. in which freedom, the freedom in the spirit, reigns supreme. And God has ordered this entire situation in such a way that by the time everything is said and done, His will have been done in the earth of hearts as it is in heaven. And the justice of God will once and for all be meted out, and everything will be reconciled. Until then, we are being called to persevere in imitating the leniency of God, the meekness of God, the perseverance of God, the love of God, to make this come to pass. He wants us to work with Him. Jesus is very clear in what He's teaching us. But more importantly, He's absolutely certain of the reality of what will be forever. What is now, He's absolutely certain about what's happening now. He says, don't matter, don't get distracted. No matter how many Judases appear in my church, don't leave Peter because of Judas. It's not about Judas. It's about Jesus and the ones He has chosen. It will all work out. We don't seem like much right now. Following this mass, I have a baptism. A small child is going to be transformed in those waters. So small and seemingly insignificant, so vulnerable, so weak. And once that child is born again of water and spirit, infinite possibilities are now available for that child to come forth as they grow in wisdom, age, and grace before God and the world, with the help of their parents, the godparents representing the entire mystical body of Christ, the church. We hold on today to this word of God, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom. God love you.